Is Jeffrey Simmons still being disrespected and underrated by the national media and even other NFL executives despite his career year and all first team All-Pro nod last season? We're breaking down the Titans defensive tackle group in the final installment of our training camp positional preview series, getting ready for Titans training camp. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, the yada yada king, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, happy Friday. Still missing the Audible Army live streams, but the good news, this is our last Friday before we return to the Friday live streams, and we're breaking down the defensive tackle position group here, previewing why we believe this is the strongest group on the Titans roster, and why Jeffrey Simmons still don't get no respect.
I'm doing well, doing well. I think that's the first yada yada king I've gotten throughout this positional preview series.
No. Oh. I did it last Friday as well because I said it's Friday. I'm doing it for the Friday crowd. But yes, it has been fewer and further between.
The man has a pattern and he sticks to it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Friday thing. We'll be back next Friday with a live stream, as Graver said. We're missing the Audible Army, so excited about that. But today, we're not excited to talk about all the disrespect that Jeffrey Simmons has been getting lately as we preview Titans defensive tackles. Now, it started with that outrageous, you know, top 100 annual list the NFL releases. It's always bad every year, to be honest with you. Exceptionally bad this year when Jeffrey Simmons clocked in at like number 83, I think it was. Totally crazy. There are not 82 better football players than Jeffrey Simmons. I don't think there are 25 better football players than Jeffrey Simmons. Probably from there on out, you can start having the argument, but there certainly are not 25 better players than Jeffrey Simmons in the NFL. That one I kind of took with a grain of salt. I'm so used to that list being so bad.
I will say it was nice to see the reaction from analysts and people who cover the league and who are well-respected thought leaders in the football space who are like, this is crazy. Jeffrey Simmons is not the 83rd best player. This is ridiculous. This is why we don't trust the players to rank themselves, et cetera, et cetera. So that was nice to see. He wasn't getting disrespect by those, I will call them ball knowers, but by the players, I mean, goodness gracious. And then you talk about more disrespect. Last week, I think it was last Thursday, Jeremy Fowler's doing his series where he talks to anonymous NFL executives and scouts and whatever, and they rank the best 10 players at every position group. And somehow, Leonard Williams comes in above Jeffrey Simmons. Now, don't get me wrong. Leonard Williams is a great defensive tackle, just won the Super Bowl, for goodness sake. But talking about what they were able to produce and what they were dealing with around them. Leonard Williams played for a Seahawks defense that was maybe the best defense in the league last year. If not the best, it was top three along with, I don't know, Houston and Denver maybe, but I would put Seattle maybe second, maybe just behind Houston. The players that he was playing alongside, way better. Seahawks often in the lead in games, giving Leonard Williams a chance to go actually try to rush the passer from a defensive tackle spot. Meanwhile, Jeffrey Simmons playing for a 3-win team, losing every week in the fourth quarter, never has a chance to go salt the game away with a sack or whatever. Also dealing with pretty bad teammate, not bad, but like not the teammates that Leonard Williams has to take pressure off of him. I don't know how anybody can watch last year's season and not rank Jeffrey Simmons as the number one defensive tackle. I think you said it before we started taping. They just gave him the nod because he just won the Super Bowl and he's on the Super Bowl winning team. So he must be the best one. Like, give me a break with this nonsense.
I think that's exactly what happened, but it's outrageous. Like, this defense is coached by Mike McDonald, one of the best defensive minds in the NFL. On the D-line playing with him, he had, I'm going to forget some, Derek Hall, who they just signed to a multi-year extension, Boye Mafe, who they just lost to free agency, a veteran in DeMarcus Lawrence, who they signed last year, Uchenna Nwosu, who's a good player as well. He had inside Byron Murphy, took a huge step forward, and honestly, might be the next Byron great Murphy, defensive tackle in the NFL.
Who is also on this list, by the way. Now, he's not in the top 10. He's the first honorable mention. But that means there were enough NFL executives and a veteran NFL defensive coach quoted in this article who did rank him in their top 10. He just didn't get enough votes. But you're playing next to another guy in the top 10. Like,
Jerron Reed, who's really good run stoppers on that line as well. Nick Amignori, Devon Witherspoon, like a bunch of elite football players all over this defense. Ernest Jones was great. So yeah, this one bothered me more. Jeffrey Simmons is obviously the best defensive tackle in the league right now, but we got to take these things with a grain of salt. I'm personally excited. It's going to motivate him. He tweeted about, I think, being number 83 on the NFL list. That one obviously bothered him. It's going to motivate him. I'm excited to watch him in this Robert Saleh defense. We've talked about it a lot in recent weeks. Perhaps another career best year is on the horizon, or at least one similar to it. He was so good last year. I think it's unfair for us to set our expectations at even better. If he's even as good as he was last year, it's another, you know, maybe double-digit sack season. It's another year where we're saying Jeffrey Simmons is the best defensive tackle in football. I'm pumped to watch him in this defense in 2026.
Yeah, and the reason that I'm pumped to watch him is because of who they have added next to him in the middle of the defense. John Franklin Myers comes over from Denver, where he had 7.5 sacks of his own last season. And you know what is even crazier, Justin? John Franklin Myers had the third most sacks of any defensive tackle last year. Jeffrey Simmons had the most sacks of any defensive tackle last year. And this chart from Next Gen Stats really shows you what they have added to this defense. This is the highest pressure rates from defensive tackles over the last two seasons, 2024 to 2025 combined. The leader in defensive tackle pressure rate over that time is Milton Williams, who last offseason signed a massive contract with New England. Number two, Jeffrey Simmons with a 12% QB pressure rate. Number three, Quinnen Williams in Dallas. And number four, John Franklin Myers, 11.8% QB pressure rate. Again, Franklin Myers, 7.5 sacks in 2025, third most among defensive tackles. Jeffrey Simmons, 11 sacks in 2025, the most among defensive tackles. The Titans have two of the top three defensive tackle sack leaders and two of the top four highest pressure rates among defensive tackles over the last two seasons. This duo is going to wreck opposing offenses, and it really it really makes the concerns about the edge room less concerning, in my opinion, because you don't need Jermaine Johnson to go have 11 sacks and Jacob Martin to have 9 across from him or whatever. You need those guys to contribute and clean up plays when Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers are getting to the quarterback on a down-by-down basis.
Yeah, I'm pumped about the John Franklin Myers-Jeffrey Simmons duo up the middle of the defense. How could you not be? Those stats tell a story right there. They're going to be dominant across the interior. And I agree, like we talked about the edge group yesterday, having the two of them inside does take a lot of pressure off the outside group, if you will. John Franklin Myers has obviously played in this defense before for Robert Saleh, Aaron Whitecott, and heck, he's played with Jermaine Johnson. I think he's played with Jacob Martin. He's played with, Solomon Thomas, who we'll talk about after the break. He even played with new assistant D-line coach Tanzel Smart, who played in New York with him. He knows this defense inside out. There's a lot of familiar faces for him all over, both alongside him and in the coaching staff as well. Robert Saleh, it's not contradictory, but he talked about how you can kick him outside and stop the run on early downs. There's so much he can do for you. But then he's also talked about Robert Saleh. We're not going to move guys around a lot, positions. We want them to be dominant at what they are good at. That makes me wonder, like, where is Franklin Myers going to play, or where he's going to play the majority? I know he's going to play majority inside. Does he play outside at all, I guess, is the question I'm asking. I'm fine if he doesn't. You know, I want him inside next to Jeffrey Simmons, making interior linemen, guards and centers, picking their poison. You can't double team both of them. They're obviously going to choose Simmons, you know, more often than not to double team. That's going to give Franklin Myers some really advantageous matchups one-on-one against these guards or centers or whoever, where he's going to have the size, quickness, and explosive advantage more often than not. So I'm super pumped to have John Franklin Myers on this line, and I can't wait to see him playing next to Jeffrey Simmons.
Right. Number two, by the way, just because I mentioned it earlier, number two, defensive tackle sack leader was Byron Murphy, who, you know, Leonard Williams is playing next to and is somehow the best defensive tackle in football. There's a lot of guys in this room that the coaching staff has talked about, the rotation that they're going to have at this position and defensive end for that matter, but we're talking tackles today. And that if you can play more than four snaps in a row in this system, you're not doing it right. Jeffrey Simmons has talked about how he wants to prove to Robert Saleh that he can play more than four snaps in a row on this defensive line. But we'll see who wins that battle once the season arrives. The other guys that are going to be rotating a lot, we'll talk about right after this break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard. And BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, everybody. All right, you got Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers at the top of the food chain on this Titans roster in this position group, for sure. The other guys we expect to be frequently rotated through the defensive tackle group are, I would say, Jordan Elliott, Solomon Thomas, probably your top two, maybe Solomon Thomas number one there. You have a bunch of other guys in the room, though. You have Jalen Holmes, Cam Horsley, Jackie Marshall was drafted this year. So that's the group of guys that are going to be rotating through alongside Jeffrey Simmons and Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers. I do think Solomon Thomas is probably first guy off the bench. Jordan Elliott, probably second guy off the bench. Maybe the two of them are on the field together. Maybe you don't want to do that too often, so you get one of Simmons or Franco Myers on the field most snaps, and then we'll see if anybody else can really crack this rotation and get snaps beyond those top four.
I'm curious to see how this goes, because they signed Jordan Elliott in free agency. I think it was like a two-year, $9 million contract, something in that neighborhood, between $8 and $10 million over 2 years. Robert Saleh's coached him before. I believe that one was with the 49ers, if I'm now recalling correctly. And then they trade for Solomon Thomas. It was a joke of a pick swap with the Cowboys. I think they gave up pick 218 and got back pick 225. It was like a late seventh round pick swap. And Solomon Thomas played for Coach Saleh with the New York Jets. So both of these guys he wanted to bring in to kind of fill out this
D-line. Solomon Thomas was playing for Aaron Whitecotton with the Dallas Cowboys last season.
That's right. Yeah, good call. So lots of experience with these two players across this coaching staff. I don't know which one's going to play more, to be honest. Like, I'm not going to make a proclamation there because I think they're both pretty similar. They've kind of been, in truth, like league average defensive linemen. They're not true starting caliber players. Solomon Thomas was like number three overall in his draft class, never forget. Right. And Jordan Elliott showed a lot of like, I think Jordan Elliott played at Missouri. I remember him coming out being like, this guy like might be a big deal. He's being underrated. He's been all right, but he's at least been an NFL caliber player. What interests me here
Can I ask you, just to try to gauge for context for our audience, who would you say is the best player of the three if I told you Jordan Elliott, Solomon Thomas, and Sebastian Joseph Day?
Wow. That's an impossibly difficult question. I think I'd slightly lean Joseph Day. I think slightly, but it's really close for me.
So it's basically like the Titans upgraded Joseph Day into John Franklin Myers as a starter. And yes. Then have two more Sebastian Joseph Days on the bench coming off behind him. I mean, that's a pretty deep, good group.
I think that's fair to say. I think that's actually a very good point, because I think they're both in a very similar caliber tier as Sebastian Joseph Day. And I expect both of them to play. What's interesting to me is like Robert Saleh has talked about how we're going to rotate a lot. You can't go more than four snaps. The talent gap between Jeffrey Simmons, John Franklin Myers, and the next two, Elliott and Thomas, is fairly big, in all honesty. Right? Like, those guys are still NFL caliber players, but they're nowhere near Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers. So how often do they play? Ideally, you'd love to ride Simmons and Franklin Myers pretty heavy due to that talent gap. But the indications are they might not do that, right? Like, listen, this ain't going to be 50-50 between Simmons and Jordan Elliott, or 50-50 between Franklin Myers and Saleh. That's just not the way it's going to work. Those two guys are too good, and you need them on the field. And I think Saleh is going to learn that, if not right away, he's going to figure it out at some point rather early, that you want those two guys on the field. So how much do those next two play, you know, Jordan Elliott and Solomon Thomas, and what kind of impact do they have, you know, in this defensive line rotation?
And then we expect them, because they are going to rotate a lot of guys here, this is going to be a pretty deep group. You know, Robert Saleh wants, he said, 8 or 9 guys he can roll through on game days. That includes the edge position. So we think in total, 9 or 10 ends and tackles, defensive linemen in general, could make this roster. And I think the guy with the early lead on the fifth spot in this room is sixth round pick Jackie Marshall out of Baylor. I don't know a ton about Jackie Marshall. I'm excited to watch him play a bit in this training camp and preseason coming up here. But to me, probably the most like random what kind of pick that was made in this draft. But if he turns into a productive rotational player on the defensive line, it'll be a good pick. A guy who was pretty athletic, had a pretty good RAS score, 8.77, not elite athleticism, but pretty quick for his size. And we'll see if he can crack this rotation at all, too. I imagine he'll play probably 12 snaps a game, or maybe 8 snaps a game, just to give these other guys a breather at times.
Yeah, he's a little undersized, right? It helped contribute to his slide. He's 6'2", 293 at the combine. Half decent length, though, 32-inch arms, you know, from the interior. He ran a 4.88 in the 40-yard dash, so a very good time. Probably contributes that he's only 290 and change, but 4.88, anything under 5 for me is pretty darn good for a D lineman. This past year at Baylor, by the way, 30 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss. Even better in 2024, where he had a career high 42 tackles, 6.5 TFLs, and 3 sacks. He's a bit of a penetrator, is probably how I would describe him. And I do think he fits the Robert Saleh mindset, where it's like, he likes big guys. Maybe he doesn't check those boxes, but he does get into the backfield and kind of plays with a motor, that get off, you know, get off the ball that we mentioned, yesterday on the edge episode. I think that sort of fits Jackie Marshall's profile as an interior guy. I do think he's the fifth and final guy in this room. I'll be shocked if they don't keep 5. And because they drafted him, I think he's definitely the fifth. They don't have a lot of guys in this room, unless you didn't miss any. Like, I expected more competition here. Like, Jalen Holmes, by the way, is someone they just signed recently. Like, when they made all those moves, when they cut like CJ Ravenel and some of the other guys, they added a couple guys. That was Jalen Holmes is one of them. NFL experience. So listen, if they're very displeased with Jackie Marshall and they think he's more of a practice squatter, then Jalen Holmes is an NFL caliber number 5 D lineman. But there's really no one else. Cam Horsley is the last man standing, right? Of like that 2025.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I always forget the year. That 2025 undrafted class where they had like 3 or 4 interior D linemen. Cam Horsley's the last one standing, but not a lot of volume here with this group, to be honest with you. Which makes sense, because you already know who your top 4 are, you know, bar none. And then you used your draft pick on who you think is going to be the number 5. So you don't need a bunch of back end guys here.
Yeah, you use the draft pick on who you think is going to be number 5. You brought in a 7-year going into his 8th season vet to be an insurance policy in case that number 5 draft pick doesn't work out. And then Jalen Holmes is your number 5. Cam Horsley and the other guy in the room is Timmy Horn. Probably don't have any shot to make this
team. He was here last year. I forgot about Timmy Horn. Yeah. He's more of a nose tackle, though. They brought him in as like a backup to Tavondre Sweat, if I remember correctly. And as we know, in Robert Saleh's defense, no need for Tavondre Sweat or a nose tackle. They traded him away. Probably not a good sign for Timmy Horn. I don't think he fits this scheme anymore whatsoever.
Yeah, same. So I think that those top six are competing for five spots. There's really two guys competing for one spot in a draft pick and a free agent, very recent free agent signing, a late process signing. I don't think Jalen Holmes really will make the roster because of that, but if somebody gets hurt or if Jackie Marshall just isn't up to snuff. That is the defensive tackle preview. Final question before we sign off and before we end the positional preview series, Justin. Over under 10.5 sacks, Jeffrey Simmons.
Wow, I hate that question because that's, damn, you're a good gambling line maker, good odds maker, if you would, because I would probably predict about 10 or 10.5. I'm going to go under. I'm sorry. There's too much juice on the under. I think it's really rare for an interior D lineman to have 10 plus. The only reason I'm taking the under is because I think he probably ends up between like 8.5 on the low end, 11 on the high end. There are more possible outcomes on the low end there, according to the math. So I'll take the under, but I hate that you made me do it.
I'm going over. I think he has 12 sacks or more. Woo. I think he's in the running for defensive player of the year alongside Will Anderson, who I don't know if you follow these stupid like sleeper NFL graphics and nonsense they put out. They just put out, it was a week ago now, they put out a tweet that was like, who's the best in the AFC South at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, defense, or whatever, and all these people choosing Will Anderson Jr. as the best defensive player in the South, and it's like, we're rushing a little quickly to crown Will Anderson Jr. as the best defensive player in the South. Give me Jeffrey Simmons. We'll see at the end of this season who the better player really is. Will Anderson, since coming into the leagues, played for D'Amico Ryans on a great Texans defense. Like, yeah, he looks good. He is good. But is he the best defensive player in the division? I don't think so. Of course, I am a Titans fan. All right, that will do it for the positional preview training camp series here. We are ready for training camp. Now we just have to wait a week, and then we'll be in training camp. All next week, we got fresh content coming for you guys. Monday, we're going to be breaking down and reacting to Cam Ward's appearance / feature on season 3 of the Netflix special Quarterback. Next week, we might talk a little Titans rivalry uniforms, might talk a little Robert Saleh defensive scheme, Brian Daboll offensive scheme, our final training camp preview content coming next week, and then it's here, finally. The long wait ends, but still over a week to go until we get to that point. So, y'all stay right there, subscribe to the channel, like this video, comment below. Why is Jeffrey Simmons still being disrespected? Who makes the rotation over under the sack number for Simmons? Who leads the defensive tackle room in snaps beyond those two? Let us know all your thoughts in the comments below, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.